Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, anyone in between and all those still trying to figure it the fuck out, please sit back, relax, put in your earphones, and buckle your seatbelts. The next 2 hours are guaranteed to not be safe for work. Now welcome to your speakers, smartphones, or laptop, America's sweetheart, Pollo Del Mar, and a San Francisco's blazing beauty, Pearl Tees. It's time for Podomatic's number one ranked LGBT podcast, and 120 minutes of your life you will never get back. Brought to you in conjunction with San Francisco's Left Magazine, it's time for Party Foul Radio with Pollo and Pearl.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Ms. Pollo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tees.
And this is episode 75, you guys. If you're out there and you've been with us through all 75 episodes, give yourself a big old pat on the back, y'all. Thank you very much for being with us for 75 episodes. And Pearl, I don't know if you saw this in the news today. Actually, it wasn't today. Recently, if you saw this in the news, that Malta passed same-sex marriage.
Oh, my goodness.
Marriage equality.
Through Malta. To think that we started off in a place that did not have same-sex marriage.
Yep, you guys, our biggest listener base when this show started like a year and a half ago was, in fact, in Malta. We were Malta's number one LGBTQ podcast.
Right, girl.
And so I'm personally happy. I don't know a single soul in Malta, but at least we had a little bit of an impact on the people who were there without marriage equality. And congratulations to all of you who in Malta and other places which have recently passed marriage equality. But, I mean, we're not that far behind you guys, so, or ahead of you guys, rather. Right. So, anyway, congratulations to Malta. By the way, our listener numbers were in for this week, and they were impressive.
And y'all know Africa was, of course, one of the top ones.
Girl, they surely were.
So, hello, Africa.
So, you guys, I was looking at this today. So, this was an incredibly good week for us. We had almost 9,000 listeners. We had, like, just under 9,000, because we had, it was, like, a handful below that. And our number one listener base is, of course, United States. So thank you, the USA, for listening in to us. But when I tell you that we had over 2,000 listeners in Kenya, the numbers are in, girl.
I hear you, girl.
I'm trying to show her, and she's like, I'm disengaged. I'm on Snapchat.
Right, but she didn't just send me this in a text message, girl.
Like, 2,200 plus people in Kenya were listening this week, and 1,600 plus in Somalia. And then our fourth listener demographic is Uganda. So I really, you guys, if you are out there and you are in one of our African listening nations and you are on social media,
you know what, girl? Africa must have got the hint that, or must have got the signal that you are just addicted to black penis, girl.
Oh, my God.
They must have got the news, girl.
I don't know if that's the case, but if so, hey, I'm here, bitch. I'm here and I'm listening for you guys, as long as you're listening for me. So if you're on social media, tweet us at Party Foul Radio. I actually suspect, we've talked about this numerous times, but I strongly suspect that our listeners in Africa do this quite on the DL because they can't let anybody know. Otherwise, they're going to be
much like Pollo.
No, I don't fuck with people on the DL. You know, nope. I definitely do not fuck with anybody on the DL. We've got a fucking peanut gallery today. We have a live studio audience which is heckling me and Pearl.
Well, I can't, girl.
Go ahead. Go ahead. She said it, bitch. Yep, live in the studio. It's my BFF and drag daughter, Shigella Rella. It's this hoe's 40th birthday, y'all.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, happy 40th.
I know, right?
Oh, girl.
She's back in the background. She's like, I know, right? Oh, my God, girl. No.
You're so old,
bitch. Oh, you're so old.
You think you're old, girl. You're quite old.
So, Shigella and I, we spent a fabulous day at IKEA. Oh. You have to go to IKEA in teams of two, because that way, in case you accidentally have a mental and emotional breakdown because of the stress of that environment.
I love IKEA. Love IKEA.
I mean,
the crowd is kind of like,
right, insane, like,
but other than that, girl, I love IKEA.
Oh, like, the products are fun. Like, it's, bitch, you can leave there with all kinds of things you absolutely don't need. You know, like, you go in there and be like, I need this. And then you get home and you're like, why did I think I needed that? But we went in pairs of two. That way, in case one of us had a breakdown, the other could call 911. Hello, this bitch lost her mind in this area over here with the rugs.
We're stuck in aisle three.
Yeah, it was. But we also dined there, girl. I love myself, like, the Swedish meatballs.
As good as the food smells, I've never actually eaten at IKEA.
Really?
Yeah.
It's, like, so cheap, you guys. I pretty much ordered everything.
Surprise.
Okay. I don't know if this is, like, a true thing around all IKEAs, but our IKEA knows that people go there to eat so much that they now have a roller cart specifically that allows you to be a triple-decker tray. You can, like, put three trays stacked on top of each other, and you can just keep putting food on top of it.
Oh, my God.
It was amazing. We had every tray full. Like, I was like, I will take the pasta. I will take the chicken stuffed with artichokes and Parmesan. I will take some cornbread.
Girl, this is why they have cartoons of us in the future that's so fat that we can't even get out of our chairs.
Well, bitch, let me tell you something.
What cartoon is that, girl?
The future is now, honey. I can barely get a chair to stay alive in this house. Pearl keeps breaking them every time she comes here.
No, girl, that's her ass. She sits her fat ass on these chairs.
Every time Pearl comes here.
They're so fucking weak that by the time a fucking feather drops on them, girl, they just fucking break on your ass.
Bitch, I know she doesn't think she's a fucking feather.
Girl, I'm as light as a marshmallow, bitch.
Light as a marshmallow.
I've been losing weight, too.
You guys have seen Ghostbusters, right?
Whatever.
The attack of the fucking marshmallow woman at the end. I'm coming through. Don't get between me and the estrogen.
Whatever, bitch.
Anyway.
Turn into Zool.
Right. Who are you going to call?
Girl.
Anyway, so, Pearl, how did you spend your weekend?
My weekend was kind of crazy. So, Friday, I was in Oakland for another tattoo appointment.
Mm.
Saturday, I went to a queer people of color party.
Okay.
In Alameda. That was a lot of fun. And then on Sunday...
Was it like at a private location or someplace?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Got it.
And then on Sunday, I had two shows over in Sacramento. I was in the Sunday showcase over at Sidetracks.
With Helen Eels. That was Chantal.
No, Chantel, I heard quit. I heard she quit or resigned or...
Oh, no.
I don't know if she hung up the wig or if she just retired.
Girl, she barely wore a wig. Remember, she always wore those, like, little fascinator wigs in the back? I was like,
what
the hell is going
on? That's what I heard. But, I mean, yeah, so it was hosted by...
Taryn?
No, Taryn didn't host it. So it was... I was there.
Betty Booger?
No. Kara Coronado from Modesto was there.
Okay. Is Kara Coronado from Modesto?
I believe so. No, wait. I'm sorry.
Kara Coronado
Sasha
is...
Glam Devereaux.
Okay.
And that's who hosted that day. And we had Delta work in the house. So that was a lot of fun. And then right after, I strolled right across the street to Helen Hill's show, One Hell of a Show at Faces, and brought my girl Amora with me.
Oh, very nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's cool. Sunday here in San Francisco was my new talent showcase number 18 at the cafe.
The final one, girl.
The final one.
How was it?
It was, it was packed, which was wonderful to see.
Mm-hmm.
There were over 300 people there, and that was incredible. There were 10 girls competing. Everybody was, you know, there's usually, like, one girl of at least one girl who you're like, oh, maybe you should have held out for the next one.
Uh-huh.
You know, like there were some people who were a lot rougher around the edges than others in the show, but generally speaking, everybody put on a great performance. Everybody was like, the crowd was super into it. The crowd stayed until the very end. Yeah. Indeed.
I cannot. I will not.
I don't even have to add. Now that Shigella's here, I'm like, I normally just splice this shit in from phone messages. And she's over here. I don't know what happened. I think she actually just gave birth. She's like, oh.
I cannot.
So anyway, so it was a really, really wonderful time. And I would like to remind everybody who's a listener and in the Bay Area, please come over the next 2 weeks. You've got the 23rd and the 30th of July to catch me while I'm still at the cafe. After that,
who's in your gigs coming up?
I haven't actually set a cast for this weekend or the final one. Yeah, so
If I had a final one, I would have like. Girl, flyers done.
There'll be all that, and it'll all be fine. Carne Asada already. Wait, what did you say?
Wow. I said who won, girl. You never.
So on our desk right now, here in the studio, we have two giant boxes of lube.
Going to the winners?
Yes, those are going out to
the
winners.
You are such a hoe.
Why?
I love it.
I mean,
clever.
Girl, I also like. They also won $100 cash each. Like I was just gonna let them split the $150, but I was like, you know what? This is the final one. You guys worked it out. I'm gonna give you $100 each, and you can split this, and you'll each get a box. A Swiss Navy Premium Lubes provided by our sponsors, Ellen Friedman and Swiss Navy Premium Lubes, and of course, your friends here at Party Foul Radio. So they're both going to get that. They're going to be slip sliding around. I hope they don't. I told them, I was like, girls, just think, if you win this, you can buy half a hooker and you'll have all kinds of lube.
Just half.
Right, exactly.
You only need half, I guess.
Probably. Just like half an hour. You don't get the full hour.
Make sure you get the right half.
Make sure you get the right half, though. So. The winners were Mira Lajete.
Look at you getting
Mira Lajete.
Is that a guttural R?
It's some kind of a, I don't know. Right. You know, anytime I say an R, it comes with a bunch of gut. So it's like, I got all kinds of gut to back my R. It's Mira Lajete.
Okay, girl.
And Bitty B.
Bitty B, that's so cute.
Bitty B. It was Bitty B's first time ever in drag, ever.
A first-timer one?
Well, of course, you know, it's a popularity contest. It's not like a pageant situation.
No, she wasn't all that.
She was hilarious, and she was wonderful, and she was extremely well-received.
She wasn't the one with the chicken, was she?
No, I fucking loved the chicken, though.
The person who was dressed as a chicken, but there was a person who went up there with a bucket of chicken.
Dressed as a chicken with a bucket of chicken.
That was the same person.
Yeah,
oh,
Florida
okay.
man. Florida man went up with a...
Oh, I heard she was really good.
She
yeah.
was incredible, and I loved it. You guys, she did this hilarious remix where it was like a chicken mix, and it's like she did something like Selena Gomez's The Heart Wants What It Wants.
Of course.
And then at the chorus...
I can relate to that so much right now. I've been having salads, girl.
At the chorus, the thing was, she was, like, performing it, and she had made it sound like, instead of... She's like, the heart wants what it wants, whatever. But it was like, the heart wants what it... And then it cut away, and she did the fucking chicken dance. And
I was dying.
It was hilarious.
I love it.
And then it goes into Cannibal by Kesha, and she's like busts out.
Okay, she's eating chicken.
She's eating a chicken, exactly. Yeah. So,
what did the PETA followers think?
I don't know. The PETA people were probably so upset. They're like, this is oppression of chickens without beaks because by a chicken with a beak,
right. So who dressed up as like the Babadook? Because I saw that.
Babadook was Loma Prieta, and her makeup was sickening.
Everything, girl.
Like everything. Loma Prieta's makeup. When I met Loma Prieta backstage at Mother at Oasis a month and a half something ago, her makeup is so flawless.
I checked her out on Facebook actually.
She looks
sickening.
I asked if she airbrushes.
It's
so smooth, you would not know.
Maybe that's what I want to try to do. I'm going to try to airbrush.
Everything about it is like, everything is so smooth. And like, yeah, her makeup is so incredible. So there was we had a really great lineup of girls.
Was that your man calling you?
No. I don't know who that is. Hmm. But it was an incredible lineup of entertainers. The show was so much fun. The crowd was packed with people that, like, girl, we had Brenda Buttons was there. Brenda Buttons won a previous New Talent Showcase. I think she said number 6, maybe.
Uh-huh.
There was Miss Palou who was there. Miss Palou won New Talent Showcase.
Come on, Miss Palou.
I think she won number 12. Amaya Adorable. Amaya Adorable was there. She won. Royal was there. Royal Tees was there. Uh-huh. She won one. And bitch, of all people, Brandi Starr showed up.
I heard Brandi Starr was there, yeah.
Brandi Starr was there, and she competed in one, like, a long time ago, too.
I know, girl.
So, yeah, she was like...
I was in that one, girl.
So...
Yeah, I've seen that. Isn't that sickening?
That's amazing.
Yeah, that's Loma's.
Yeah.
Shigella just pulled up Loma Prieta as the Joker, and it's insane.
It's insane, girl. Insanely good.
The makeup is so good. Loma Prieta is...
Talented.
Very talented. So, and I just love the fact that, you know, she did this hilarious mix. It starts off with the Babadook and, like, and how scary the Babadook is. And then, like, and then it mixed into some song that's, like, Let's Be Gay. So then the Babadook, like, busts out, like, pride flags and whatever. And it's, like, got, like, streamer, like, gay pride streamers on a stick and everything.
I love it.
It was very clever. But I'm just going to have to tell you that Florida Man with the chicken dance, like, completely won my heart. So when I was listening, putting together the lineup, and I heard the chicken remix, I was like, bitch, this is too much. And then, of course, to everybody's shock and disgust, I also found a piece of chicken on the stage, and I was like, yes!
Hell, you are a nasty bitch.
I put it in the DJ booth, and I was peckish afterwards, so bitch, I
you
ate it.
You are a nasty bitch.
Whatever. One
you
time...
You know who's people who stepped on that girl, stage, girl?
I know, but do you know what's been in my mouth?
That's true, girl.
Like, the least of my concerns is a piece of chicken that's fallen
girl,
on the...
you know, you're a woman of a certain age, and after a certain age, you really should watch what you put in your mouth.
Yo, honey, after a certain age, you can't get anything to get in your mouth. So, I mean, like...
Well, not you would think that would help you out, but girl...
I know. I'm trying to get it in, y'all. So, help a bitch out.
Damn.
Anyway, so, you know, I'm just saying. So, I do want to let you guys know that we were supposed to have, as a guest on this podcast, I recently connected with the publisher of a online website called kinkster.com. That's KINKSTER.com in New York City. And so, Corey Wesley was supposed to join us. He's, like, the co-publisher of that website. And I really wanted to find out more about, like, his perspectives on kink and that lifestyle and what it's like to be writing for that particular audience. Because he called me a couple days ago to, like, do a quickie interview with me about my beliefs and love at first sight. And I'm like, that doesn't sound like kink to me, bitch. That sounds like some issues.
Some issues.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Poyo's got to, well, anyway.
Pearl, what are your thoughts on love at first sight?
I believe in lust at first sight, but...
oh, my God. Y'all, what? You know what? She says all kinds of awful things about me, but the first thing he said to me when he asked that, the first response was, I believe in lust at first sight. That's exactly what I said.
Because I don't think you can gauge a person's personality without actually knowing who they are.
Exactly.
And the thing is, me personally, like, I've dated plenty of guys from all over the spectrum, I think. But I'm usually won over by someone's personality.
Yep.
At the end of the day.
You guys know she's so into personality that she just can't take you on a coffee date because who knows?
Well, shut up,
if
bitch.
It goes
you're
well, girl,
a hater.
Coffee's a laxative,
such
bitch.
A hater, bitch.
She's like, oh, we went for coffee, and then next thing I know.
Never, girl. I would never go on a coffee date.
Oh, well. You know, I don't mind.
It's a laxative, boo.
I know. Pearl's like, oh, I can't.
Who wants to shit on a date, girl?
Well,
I guess if you're into that, girl. No,
she's not into. Shigella's not into it. She knows
you're
that I've got
with Mama Poyo. You better be into it.
Exactly.
Girl, I've had her shit in the middle of this podcast. So not friendly.
Yeah, well, honey, there's been a couple dates who have had me shit in the middle of sex. So. Girl, it happens, bitch.
No.
Girl, I'm sorry. You're putting your dick up somebody's butt. Sometimes things happen.
Maybe
okay?
Maybe it's a thing when you get old.
So oh, my God.
Busted walls.
Busted walls, girl.
Oh, my God. My,
yes.
my sewage is leaking. The sewage. Oh, my God. My storm drain's backed up. Bitch, oh, right. God. Somebody help me get up on the roof so I can clear the gutters.
Girl, farting out water. Farting out water.
Oh, y'all.
Douched with.
I mean, it happens, you guys. It really happens. So if you participated in butt sex and you've never accidentally left a Hershey's Kiss on somebody's...
not frequently, girl.
What?
But not frequently.
Well, I don't participate in butt sex frequently, so...
That doesn't mean...
I feel like there's a better term.
Right. Shigella's in the fucking peanut gallery. Why don't you come forward? At least pull a chair forward so that...
I wouldn't suggest pulling a chair forward. You might hurt yourself.
Oh!
There's gonna be chair
all of Poyo's right chair. Hey, do you want to use this one?
Use that one.
Okay, good. We're being joined now by Shigellarella.
Oh, let me squeeze. Here, I'll squeeze in.
I told Poyo's ass to scoot over.
Where am I supposed to scoot to? Y'all, she's like, I told her to scoot over. Meanwhile, I'm literally at the edge of the fucking table. So.
Where she belongs, bitch.
Shigella is hovering over us now on a stool. You guys will be able to hear Shigella 100 times better than you'll be able to hear Pearl.
That's probably true for anything. I have a really light voice.
Very delicate.
It's very delicate.
Shigella is covering her mouth because she's always like, I live. I'm Pearl Tease and I live.
I love it. If I ever... You know, if I ever need an
emergency. Bitch, be careful. You're going to set yourself on fire. Oh, my God. I have a fucking candle, decorative candle burning because it smells so lovely. It was one of the few things that I got from IKEA.
And you went to IKEA and the only thing you bought was a candle?
I bought a candle and an extension cord.
Wow.
It wasn't for me. It was for her. She was getting, Shigella was there getting stuff for her, like, to set up a little drag boudoir.
Oh, girl, have you seen mine? You should have hit me up, not hers.
Pearl's is lovely. Pearl's makeup station is gorge, you guys. I have to acknowledge the fact that it's beautiful. And it's very, very nice.
How do you keep it clean? Because, it seems to get everywhere.
She probably cleans it, which is something I don't bother to do.
Oh, my God. Look at how beautiful that is.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. I love it.
And everything's
Look at her all slutty in the fucking mirror by accident.
What?
She's got a picture. She's showing us her boudoir picture of like her makeup stand.
Honey,
meanwhile, she's like standing
the lotion in the basket. Oh, my God.
She's standing in a fucking white bra in the shadows. She's
like a cream colored bra.
She didn't even notice herself, but let me tell you, she's already it must have been a good night because she's wearing a pearl necklace. Oh,
whatever, bitch. You know,
I do
love
like
my
the
pearls.
Lighting on there is beautiful.
So I have little shelves down here and another little end table on this.
Yeah,
side.
You guys, we definitely need to post this nudie picture of Pearl and her makeup station.
That picture is already posted, girl.
On our Facebook page.
Tasteful.
Yeah, it is tasteful.
It is tasteful. I mean, it certainly looks
tasteful
in my mouth.
I mean, we could... What we should do is put a picture of my... vanity next to your vanity.
Yes, girl. I've already admitted, hands down, her vanity is lovely and clean. Mine is neither. So, yeah.
Lord.
Yeah, my drag room is decidedly wretched right now. Yeah, absolutely.
Vanity is probably not the right word.
Yeah.
Right. So what do you think about
my vanity is insanity.
It's really insane.
What do you think about that saying, the inside of your house is a reflection of who you are?
Absolutely. I absolutely think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Poyo, that would just mean you are... Well, you are a goddamn mess.
Yep. And you know what? I wish that you could look at the fact that there is, like, old drag clothes laying on the floor in my drag room and be like, wow, this bitch is really gonna shit on my dick. I mean, if there's anything that says that, it's the fact that there's, like, Cody powder just dusted all over my desk. They're like, wow, I can see that she does drag and shits on dicks. This is like a really bad combination.
If the sheets on your bed don't give
I
you
mean,
a tip.
Honey, the sheets on the bed, like a Forensic Files episode could be filmed
about
the sheets on the bed.
No, I don't.
Those are not dog toys on there.
You know, I mean,
they're treated like dog toys.
Anyway, you guys, I fully admit, like, I'm not one who... if you've listened once or you've listened for 75 episodes now, you know I don't really hold it back. I don't really try to make excuses for who I am or what I have to say or my opinion on things. Oh, which, by the way...
You just push it right out.
Right.
I push it right out. Right onto the, you know, into the sheets, bitch. You know how it is. Which, by the way, you guys, if you're following me on social media, you know that I told an off-color joke this weekend, which set off a whole bunch of people on a tirade. And I'm not going to go too far into it.
Surprise, surprise. Right,
I mean, and that's the whole thing. Like, surprise, you know, what? So what I said, you guys.
Girl, do you really have to repeat it? What did you say? I don't know if you should...
I'm gonna recap the joke, and if people are offended, they're offended. But
it ain't that bad.
The fact was that
it ain't that bad.
What I said was that I said since I stopped drinking, getting laid has become so difficult now. Like with trying to find somebody sober to have sex with, that I go to the bars and pretend that I've been date rape drugged, and just let my pants fall down to see if anybody shows any interest.
It's pretty funny.
And then I followed that by saying, I was like, except for the fact that, you know, like, I don't want a Bill Cosby situation. And then I wrapped it up and said, oh, all those poor women who were forced to taste Bill Cosby pudding pop without their consent. Which, like, it's not the best. It's not the worst joke. I mean, but the thing is, like, I said it. I'm not particularly sorry I said it. It was off color, like... by the way, it was delivered much better in the moment than it was just now trying to recap it, because now it's got baggage around it. But the fact of the matter is, some people got offended by it. And the issue that I have isn't that they were offended. Not at all. It's that they were in a small venue where one of the people involved was actually in the show with me, meaning that we'd shared some time in the dressing room, obviously knew me on some degree of personal level. And instead of coming to me and just saying, like, I thought that was offensive, they went home and posted some fucking tirade about it on Facebook, which I think is so petty and so childish. It's like, if you were so actually...
Who was it?
Girl, I could tell you their names, and you would still say, who was it? Because they're... Exactly. It's like...
Well, it was clear they were trolling around, too, because the minute you were on the thread, they even came to me and friend requested me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who are you?
Yeah. Shigella, like...
Like, they were just trolling for people to, you know...
Shigella hadn't even commented yet. Yeah. Like, Shigella had, like, liked a couple of comments or something on the thread. And all of a sudden, she was getting friend requests by these people. So it was, like, it was definite a trolling situation. And I'm, like... And I will stop short of suggesting that this is something... Because I think that they were legitimately, like, upset. And they were legitimately offended. And I am not negating the fact that it was certainly off color and... presumably tasteless and possibly quite offensive. Most of my life is spent being completely off color and modestly or potentially offensive. Like, that's it. Like, that's it!
Usually that's just your body.
Yeah, exactly. And that's just my fragrance. And but the fact is that, like, I feel that I address things in the world usually from at least a perspective where you're trying to reach some kind of positive outcome, even if the positive outcome isn't everybody agreeing, it's just a dialogue. And so if you're actually concerned about something, you want to, like, address the situation with the person that's involved, so maybe you could maybe impact some change, you would presumably do that. But they didn't. They just went, and then they started, like, doing things. And I will say that in the past, I've seen situations like this where people use these kind of interactions with somebody, let's say, who is more successful or more established or better known, to suddenly, like, rally support for their brand of what they do. But ultimately, it comes down to the fact that I believe... So somebody said, oh, a man in a dress makes a rape joke. How provocative. And I said, well, you know what, girl? The fact is that drag in and of itself is provocative, and... Just because I don't play my drag by your rules of engagement or whatever, I don't fucking care.
Well, it was provocative because it provoked obviously, that ridiculous response from them.
I mean, obviously it was provocative, right? And they were like, this is low-hanging fruit. The misogyny and rape jokes are low-hanging fruit. And I was like, girl, this is coming from low-hanging fruit. You guys are, like, low-hanging, meaning, like, at the base of the fucking ladder. Like, you're right there, hanging on so that you don't fall off the ladder altogether. I mean... I do appreciate that there were numerous people who had opposing points of view or represented a different perspective who actually chimed in a productive way that engaged conversation and allowed for that. So one is a performer named Pandora Noir. She engaged in an actual conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, at the end of it, we still did not see eye to eye, but it's like, whatever. So... I mean, I saw that you sort of chimed in some capacity.
No, I didn't.
Not on that one, but on the one where I said, straight guy tries to define blah 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 what drag should be for people, and you did comment on that.
On that one, I did, but that did not. Those two posts did not seem like they had anything to do with each other.
Right. Well, the thing is, what it was is how it started is that they started bitching at first about the joke I made. And then, as a result of me basically saying, you know what, if you don't have the balls enough or whatever to, like, come to me and talk to me about it, your opinion means nothing then. Like, mm-hmm. I don't fucking care. You can post whatever you want on social media. You don't fucking mean shit to me. Because if you don't have the courage to stand up and actually address the situation and confront it, to engage a dialogue, I don't fucking care about your opinion.
You see this on Facebook a lot, though, where...
Right.
There's a thread that starts, and then it just goes like wildfire, and people start bringing up all their own traumas, and their own injustices, and their own soapboxes, and then... And everyone's against each other. It's like they're all fighting to be heard, and you forget what the whole point of the damn post was about.
Right, and... At the same time, I also want to say that, like, this, like, went from me making that joke to, like, I don't support women and I hate women and, you know, like, all of these things. And I have to tell you that at the end of the day, I've never been one... You can believe whatever you want about me. Like, I don't feel the need to go around and personally approach people and change their mind about me. Because, first of all, it's not productive. Second of all, it's a waste of time. Third of all, I probably don't fucking care what your opinion of me is. And fourth of all, most importantly of everything, I firmly believe that personal actions in life speak far more than words. So if I say something that's offensive to you, that's great. But before you say that, like, I'm a horrible person and this and that, maybe, like, look into what the person is doing either behind the scenes or whatever. There's, like, a lot of things that I have consistently supported in terms of charities and events and people who probably could tell you that their interaction with me has been anything but what these people are trying to say I am.
Right, are you trying to say someone's actually had a delightful moment with you?
Girl, a lot of people have had delightful moments with me.
Girl, I need to see the receipts on that one.
So,
I think it's like the reality TV show stuff, though, that it's right. Like you need to be perceived as that in order for it to be of any interest to waste all this energy and throw all of this negative energy out there.
Right. I mean...
Did you order food?
No, that's my neighbor. So don't get your hopes up, bitch.
Damn it.
So, I do think that, like, some people really want to... I think that there is a reality TV mindset to a lot of people. You know what I mean? Like, I've encountered numerous people who live their life through social media as if they are a reality TV star.
And that everyone's against them.
Right.
Social media, really. I just had this conversation with someone today. Social media... I don't know. This is why I say I have real friends. When I mention, like, me hanging out with my real friends. Because everybody else who I don't consider a real friend... As far as, like, who you are to them on social media, it's just their inflated egos online.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they're nothing beyond that. They don't really care about who you are as a person. They don't care about what you're doing with your day-to-day life. They're not generally interested in you. They're not calling you to hang out or see what's going on with you. That's all it is, so...
I've always understood what you're meaning of the, like... I was with my real friends.
Real friends,
this
girl.
Weekend.
Yes. real ones.
Like, I find that term very amusing because I think that it inherently is offensive.
It's like offensive.
To a lot of people because there's a lot of people who are like, I thought we were friends. But
girl, show me the receipts. Where'd you think we were real friends? When'd you call me last? Because I could go, when? If you don't have proof
don't
that
pay
we should
your
be...
bills, right. Telephone bills.
I don't give a
I don't think you right. do.
If someone
you and me are
through, bitch. If I don't understand, like, I really am not here for your feelings. If you are somehow offended that I have real friends,
but which is very similar to
that's a,
your stance with
right.
the...
Right,
right.
Like, what does it matter? Like, what does it do to me? What does it do for me? Nothing.
But at the same, you know, at the same time, like, one of the things I think is really important about that is that there's a difference between doing things that are harmful. Like, if I was, like, going around in my daily life, like, walking up to women and being like, So, can I slip you a date rape drug and fuck you with this pudding pop? Like, that's, like, really offensive. If you're doing a stand-up that's comedy routine, yeah. Like, it's kind of expected. Like, which, by the way, you guys, newsflash, my talent as a drag performer is significantly better when I'm on a microphone doing ridiculous comedy skits than, you know, I'm not twirling and death-dropping and perla-wheeling and all of those things. But that is, like, where my talent lies. My mouth is money, and it's also what offends people. But there's... Like, historically speaking, if you say things, comedic things that are so bland that they're never going to upset or embarrass or, you know, enrage or whatever, they're not that interesting. Like, you know, and the fact of the matter is that when you go to an event, the responsibility for your feelings is not on the other people who are there.
No.
Like...
Especially when you didn't pay to go into the show at all. I mean, this is like a community free...
Girl, like, I mean, the
it's not like you spent $100 to go see this and you were right. Let down by the performer. Come on.
I mean, in our lives, this is why I said, for example, going back to when I said that if you have a problem with someone, I will respect you if you address it. You don't... Like, if you come to me and you've got a problem with me... I'll respect the fact that you're addressing it because of the fact that it allows two things. First of all, it allows me to actually respond in the moment if there's going to be anything, even if that response is simply listening to you and saying, well, you know, we don't see eye to eye on this, but I appreciate you addressing it with me. And number two, the second thing it does, which I think many people who are of a certain mindset absolutely do not want at all, is it removes the feeling of being victimized without the ability to respond. I think these people want to feel victimized. That's why they can go home and be like, somebody said something horrible at a show and I felt offended and whatever. Well, what did you do to take back the night, bitch? What did you do to take back the power? Did you go address it? Mm-hmm. No. You fucking left, like, skulking out of there into the night while you were putting your fucking Facebook message up about how horrible somebody is. Without ever saying a word about it. So you have absolutely removed any power you actually have in that situation. Because if you want to find yourself in a situation, or you do find yourself in a situation that's uncomfortable or offensive or whatever, you can choose to remove yourself from it, which is a form of self-care. Or if you've chosen to stay and you don't want to leave there feeling like victimized or whatever, so hard to victimize. If you come to one of my drag shows, just like with most comedians, if you're an eye shot of me and I recognize you, I will totally read you. I will call you out. I'll say something ridiculous about you. That's part of the nature of the beast. And so if I do that to people, and I've done it many times, and somebody is upset, that's part of what happens. But girl, if you're in a fucking audience of people and I don't even know you're there, and if even if I did know you were there, I wouldn't know who the fuck you are and have no interest in you whatsoever, you can't really leave a situation like that feeling personally victimized. Because nothing was addressed to you. Like, maybe it pushed a button on your personal experiences, or maybe pushed a button on, like, a hot topic for you or whatever, and that upsets you, but you can't really feel leaving like a victim because I didn't know you existed. If I go and hear comedy or I see a movie that, like... Okay, remember when we did that thing with... we interviewed the guy from the Chemsex movie, and I went and saw the movie... Well, that movie triggered the fuck out of me, but I didn't, like, go up to the director and be like, how could you do this to me? You hurt me by your movie and the commentary it made. And it... Well, he didn't fucking know I existed when that comment was, you know, when that movie was being made.
It's not about you.
It's not about me. It's a body of work, and it stands on its own, and if you get something from it, you get something from it, and if you don't, then... Lengthy, you don't.
Well, and I would just like to say, because I was there.
She's also a therapist.
It is the chronic seeking and perception of an invalidating environment.
What does that mean in layman's terms, bitch?
That
we need stupid people like Pearl to understand.
I kind of got it. Did you not get it?
I totally understood it.
Then why are you asking for clarification?
Because there's people out there are people out there who might not have understood it.
Okay.
Well, it's just like wherever you go, you're constantly perceiving that everyone is rejecting you, or that you're not being accepted, and it's me against them, and, you know, it's more about your own trauma and your own self-perception, and it's kind of gets you through the, almost like those rose-tinted glasses or whatever, where you're just always looking through this
perception. It's like the opposite of rose-colored glasses. It's like, like dour colored glasses, yeah. whatever, like trauma colored glasses.
Trauma glasses. And that was not the only joke that you told.
Absolutely not.
And not only that, this was off the fly. You weren't even expected to be, somebody just handed you a mic right in the middle. It didn't land, you know, 100%. It kind of had a rocky landing.
Like
so what? I mean, it no. wasn't.
But what?
It wasn't like the show ended at that point. It, we moved on to all these other things, and the show continued, and people moved on.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
but this person,
they stayed stuck in that moment. That was like, it was a 2.5 hour show, and the only thing that they could comment on was one like literal one liner.
Right, and they
a one liner out of 2.5 hours
as an opportunity to start this big. Huge divisive kind of campaign thing where, you know, it's the cisgendered faux queens against the misogynistic drag queens and this whole, you know, kind of rift that's now going on. So they just took it as an opportunity to open this big can of worms in Pandora's box, but that wasn't necessarily what the whole point of the situation was.
Well, not at all.
To negate that whole issue, because it is important, but they just created a platform that wasn't there.
Right, and the thing was, I also, when I actually was engaged with some conversation, I actually offered, like, a lot of solution-based things, which I think probably through social media sound really cunty, but one of the things I said is, like, if you are offended by me, that's okay with me. It shouldn't necessarily be okay with you, and you have to realize that you could come here and say as many things as you want, and it's not going to change me. So this is when I say to you, to do exactly what I would do in the situations were reversed. There's a fucking block button right up at the top of this page.
Right.
Exert it, and I will be removed from your world. Like, it's so simple. If you want a simple solution, that's it. Like, you know, you didn't want the solution of actually engaging in a conversation. Okay. You wanted to go home and, like, play the victim role. Okay, great. But if you are, like offended by what I said then, and you're still offended, why the fuck are you on my page? We're not even connected. So the fact that you, like, came seeking this out is clear. And then
it's one thing to go online and, you know, block somebody, whatever, and you could even post, like, you know, I don't support this establishment because of such and such, you know, I feel like, you know, they're racist or whatever. And, you know, that's that. But, I mean, I don't know. Well, anything further? I mean, I don't know. Maybe they have it out for you, girl.
Well, but I don't think... The thing is, I don't think that they have it out for me.
You're not the only one that they've done
I don't think they have it out for me. I think that they have it out. I think that they view the world as exactly what Shag said, where, like, they're constantly looking for something. I mean, in fairness to the situation...
Is it that they're constantly looking for something, or things like this constantly happen around them? Because it could be both.
It could be both. But the thing is, once again, if out of a 2.5 or whatever hour drag show, a one-liner is going to, like...
Well, I mean, you know, if I heard something that was really offensive during a show, I would leave. I wouldn't be there for the whole show.
Well, there's that.
Wasn't the first time the person
unless,
left.
You know, unless I had someone who was participating in the show.
Right. Well, yeah. The person did have somebody who was participating in the show. Their participation was over.
Well, it's not over, girl, until you see who wins.
Right. Well, no, this was not at the New Talent Show at all.
Oh, okay.
No, this was at a sober event, which, by the way, like, if I, like, when they kept, like, needling me, like, it's not always easy that when they go low to go high. So, but they were high, honey, when they went. So, this was a sober drag show for a fundraiser for a sober space in the Castro, and an event that was specifically geared towards allowing people who are in the sobriety community and recovery community who are trying to maintain their creative outlets without having to be in a bar or around drugs and alcohol because it's unsafe. They were performing there and they were stoned as fuck and reeked of marijuana. And I was like, okay, so you want to talk about feeling disrespected by a comment that I made, one comment I made because you're a woman. Well, how about the fact the comment that you made from the moment you walked in here smelling like that and being stoned when what about
a sober only environment?
It's not a sober, it's not a sober only environment, but it's a situation where one should have some common sense. Like if you are,
it's a fundraiser for a sober community.
If you're there knowing that this is an environment which they've been, you know, fully aware of for some time, if you know that's an environment where people are struggling with these things and they don't feel safe to go into an environment like a bar or whatever, because being around people who are high or being around drugs and alcohol in any form can jeopardize their own ability. If you're so concerned about this, like triggering your own trauma, how about showing a little bit of respect for people who have their own forms of trauma, which for some of these people involves drugs and alcohol, which then led to many other kinds of trauma. Because when you are like compromised with drugs and alcohol, sometimes some really fucking crazy bad shit can happen to you. So it's just one of those things like, where if you are going to like raise your voice about one thing of this nature, then you have to be cognizant of like what your own part in a situation is. And I'm not saying that they don't deserve to be there or that they don't deserve to perform there or anything of that nature. What I'm saying is that when you go into someone else's home, you respect the rules of that home.
I think it speaks to their mentality or mindset already when they were going that this wasn't, I'm a part of this community and I'm here to support her. I mean, you're already setting up for, I'm going to be surrounded by people that are in recovery and I'm reeking of pot. People are going to judge me, or, you know, those Judge Judy's are going to, you know,
right,
be judgmental. I mean, like, you're already setting it up for an invalidating environment or for people,
or possible confrontation or
all this stuff. It's silly.
I mean,
well, that's unfortunate, and it's trauma-based.
Yeah, I mean, and you guys, this wasn't like a midnight show, so that they, like, had to... it's not like it was in the middle of...
7:30?
It was at 7:30 at night, so it's just like... nobody was suggesting that, like, you have to, like, have 90 days clean and sober to show.
Right.
It's like, maybe just, whatever, use, like, one of those odor-eliminating sprays that, like, eat up the pot smell and just show up. Or maybe, like, try not being stoned out of your fucking mind. Like
but here's one thing I noticed.
And by the way, you guys, I work in a fucking bar around people who are like actively doing whatever around me. I don't care, because that's the proper environment for that. Like, that's the appropriate environment. Huh. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, it's just when the flip side of that is reversed, like when people are actively trying, girl, you know, You don't invite your gal pal who's like on a strict diet to go to fucking Golden Corral with you and sit and watch you eat. It's
I
like,
did not appreciate that.
It's yeah, I know, right?
True story.
I believe it.
I did make her go to buffets many times, but I was like, come on, girl, come on. So I guess maybe I do that.
But listen,
of course.
What about that other event we went to, where one person that was drunk or drinking at a sober event.
I still don't understand how these two posts, like...
It's, they go... Because exactly, remember what Shigella said? Is like, that one thing starts and then it just spirals up into, like...
Okay, sort of, and then it becomes, like, misogyny but those, and there's right. horrible things against women and it's not funny and it's disgusting. And you're going,
and
oh
then,
my God.
So, like, so, to explain the connection, I made a pudding pop joke.
Uh-huh.
A woman commented on it about how horrible I was. I went on my own page and said, if you can't be bothered to address this, like, you know, an adult, I don't fucking care about your opinion. Then another person...
But, girl, you don't care about her opinion regardless, so what...
but the thing
why
is, like...
Why feed into it?
But I don't...
But she, like, tagged you on it or something,
no, she
right?
did not tag me on it, but the fact was that she used my actions to, like, be like, this show and this organization... I'm like, fucking the organization and the show host didn't say anything I did. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're gonna, like... Don't vague.
This is not the first time I feel like you've dealt with this.
Oh no, it's not at all.
It happened at the other one.
It happens quite often.
The guy from the Ducal Court. Right.
Like that's what I'm saying. That's why
this conversation sounds familiar.
Well, but there was an
it's
yes,
just going on social media and bullying people
at the. So back at another
event, we've talked about this.
Yes. This person showed up drunk and was drunk, wasted, at a sober event.
I'm over it.
And then got offended.
I'm so exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Girl, I'm done.
Yeah. So.
But it just sucks the life out of you. That's what these people are doing. It's just like drama for drama's sake.
And
at least online.
I just think that there's a, I think a lot of it just has to do with the element of online, because I had a situation, which had nothing to do with like confrontation of this nature whatsoever. A friend of mine who has been really, really struggling for a long time has been doing some behaviors quite publicly that really concern me. So,
well, you can't not address that.
Well, you can't not address it. Shut up. So,
of course, Poyo can't, girl.
She can't.
She's
not.
Gotta have her fucking two cents in there.
Well, but
I just let a bitch live their life or hit the block button.
you guys, I don't
this
know.
This was about, a dear. This was a dear friend.
It is a dear friend, and okay. Like, and his behavior has been very concerning. Like, putting himself in like. Physically dangerous situations.
And posting it all over Facebook.
And putting himself in mentally and emotionally dangerous situations. Putting himself in situations that jeopardize his actual health. Like, a number of scenarios. And it's not like this is going unnoticed by people. Mm-hmm. He's doing this very publicly on Facebook. Like, really, really publicly. And so, after seeing this and being biting my tongue about it, like, for a number of, I don't know, months.
Right.
I finally, on one of his, like, more recent posts, I went on and I said, so-and-so, as somebody who deeply cares about you and has known you for a very long time, your behavior right now is completely out of the norm for you. And it very much concerns me. I wish that you would call me or speak to me about this. You know,
I'm not for that, but the thing is, did you do it publicly, or did you send it in a private message?
I sent, this is the reason I did it publicly, because I did it publicly.
Girl.
No, hold on. I did it publicly because, I did it publicly because of the fact that I wanted to set a precedence to say to other people who have been expressing similar concern and are afraid to do that in any kind of capacity in front of other people. That because he was posting stuff, and you know what happens,
everyone's condoning it.
Everybody is like, oh, girl, it looks like you're having a fabulous time, or whatever. And these are people who like don't get it, like they're not aware of like some of the really troubling things that are happening behind the scenes, like
dark,
bordering on like suicidal ideations and things. And so they're egging the behavior on that's negative quite publicly. I also, so you know, called him, sent him an email, sent him a voice. I mean, I did every means of contacting him because I wanted him to get that message. And but the fact was, that actually wasn't the problem. It was the fact that somebody saw the post, and because of one of the places that he's been behaving badly, is associated with this mutual friend, the person got up in arms. He was like, how dare you say horrible things about my workplace?
Slut shamer.
And all that. And I was like, I'm not saying any of that. I don't fucking care. But it was about, but the point was, remember before Pearl made me justify my behavior, that,
I didn't, girl, that was all you, boo.
That was, I said that you. How social media can fire, like fuel the fire. Because he actually would not respond to my, like, I was texting this third-party friend,
uh-huh.
Like, and ultimately tried calling him. He wouldn't respond, wouldn't answer, nothing like that. He ended up blocking me on social media because he totally had, like, he got in that moment and was like, oh, how dare you!
This was the slut shamer, the one saying the slut shamer. Yeah.
And then, of course, like, I finally called him again, and I was like, look, I don't care if you, like, remain blocked or whatever, but I've known you for, like, 12 years, and I would hope that you would at least like try to like hear my side of the story. Like, it has nothing to do with your place of business. It has to do with the fact that A, B, C, D, things that you may not even know about are happening. And I'm aware of those. And other people are going on here, perhaps not knowing any of that as well. And they're like egging it on, you know? And it's like, it's not cool because people can get caught up in that. And yes, he's a grown person. And like what he does with his life is get your life, girl. I live. Oh, I'm going to live, bitch. Please howl for me.
No.
But the fact is that, like, as a friend, as somebody who legitimately cares, I feel that I cannot allow somebody to do whatever it is they're doing without
not saying anything.
Right.
without saying something about it. Because that is not what a friend does. A friend says to somebody...
Well, if it was a real friend, I'll say this. Yeah. If it was a real friend, I would call her and be like, girl, let's meet up.
I like that.
And then...
Let's meet up. I like that.
How about I've had...
But a lot of people are too... Especially when they're acting out or doing this type of behavior that's whatever... too afraid to even really meet with people or do face-to-face.
I should actually be afraid of a friend, girl.
Right, but you shouldn't is right.
Right.
Unless you know that friend's going to call you on it.
Right, unless you know your friend is going to call you on your behavior. And by the way, I had already met by this point, and had similar conversations numerous times with this person.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And like, so
you guys have already talked about it.
We talked about it, but the behavior was it had calmed down and then it like popped back up.
So you guys had talked about it already, and you wanted to, and then you continued to post about it publicly?
I posted, girl, if you're posting a fucking picture of yourself in, like, doing things that, you know, are completely out of your nature, and somebody says to you, this is really outside of your nature, and it concerns me.
Maybe there's some changes, girl. I don't know.
Well, you see it on Facebook, where there's these things where it's like, oh, so-and-so, this horrible... thing happened, and you know, weeks before they were posting on Facebook.
I just wish that I'd said something.
Yeah, and everyone's like, RIP, I went, you know, why didn't you call and ask for, you know, please, you should have said something, please, never do this, ask for help. It's like, yeah, but some of that posting and all that is...
That is the call for help.
It can be. It can be.
I mean, I'm sorry, girl. If I, like, actually care about you, and I see that you're fucking doing some shenanigans, and you're making it real public, I always tell my drag children and my real friends, that don't ask a question in public you don't want answered in public, and posting
and
something...
Facebook is public.
Facebook is public. So, and posting something on Facebook and expecting people to not respond is foolish. Like, and if the only response that's acceptable to you is, like... Like, yeah, you go, girl. Nice dick, girl. Oh, you should have shown yourself more often, girl. Like, you know, that to me is not what real friends do. Like, if I'm with my real friend and I'm like about to walk into traffic and they see a car coming and know I'm going to fucking get run over, I would expect them to stop me, not be like,
yes,
you better get across the street fast, bitch. Oh, you go. You show some courage by stepping in the street with all, you know.
I feel like recently you did have a real friend. Call you on some behavior when you were on your way to said place.
But you expressed concern. He's talking about the fact...
Girl,
Shigella is talking about the fact...
Shapoya was always exempt, if you haven't noticed.
No, I'm not.
Always exempt.
No, I'm not, because I received what you were saying.
That's sure you did.
But you went anyway?
But the thing... Listen...
And okay. Posted on Facebook.
Posted it on Facebook, girl.
No, I did not
girl.
Post on Facebook.
Okay.
You did... Oh, no, girl. I did. That was in the group thread. Sorry.
No,
My bad. He was texting us through the
whole thing. I was going somewhere...
That's different.
...that he responded to in a way that completely, because of his... I'm sorry. She, because of Shigella's personal history, responded to a situation that I... Someplace I was going...
Same place that the other person...
Right. The same. Okay, bitch, we were going to Steam... I was going to Steamworks.
Oh, girl.
And because of Shigella's history there, which has been very checkered, because she is a fucking lady with a checkered past...
Checkered is... That
checkered is pleasant. But she's her past looks like... Her past is straight up plaid. It's plaid. Girl's like...
Girl, spit it out.
So, I was going to go.
Done.
She is done living.
Right.
I don't live.
I do not live, girl.
Live, died, and live.
Right.
Well, I was going to go to Steamworks.
Okay.
Why are you going to go to Steamworks?
To be a hoe, girl.
No.
No.
Actually,
this is the thing.
No.
Lies.
No.
Okay.
No.
Sure.
Like, girl, when have I ever...
I'm going to Steamworks, but not to be a hoe.
No.
Okay.
She was there... To get rejuvenated.
Oh, is that what it is?
You guys, now, I know that they're acting like that. So, I do understand where they're coming from.
Because it was a spa day.
Because of the fact that I did tell Shigella, I have a friend who gave me a free pass to go to Steamworks.
It's a real friend.
A real friend. It was like 3:00 in the afternoon on a Thursday. Ain't nobody there. As far as I know, because I've only been there like a handful of times.
Except for people that have like been there all week.
Well, which, whatever. And I said, I want to go because it's free. I want to get away because I was feeling really overwhelmed by, like, some shit that was going on in my, like, with all the changes in my, like, work and everything. I was feeling overwhelmed. And I wanted to get away. It had nothing to do with, like, getting my goodies, like, my cookie crumbled, nothing. Okay. And I understood when Shigella was like, girl, what's going on? What do you want to talk about?
Because you were feeling overwhelmed and you didn't say that.
Right. Well, I, like, the fact is, like, I was very clear. I wasn't hiding where I was going. I wasn't making it public. I was telling them, and I said to them specifically, I'm going here at this time. I'm going to be home at 8 o'clock to watch wrestling. If you don't hear about, you know, from me, this is the room number, you know, whatever.
Like, but you got a room and everything, girl.
It was a free pass.
Okay.
Like,
so, I mean, you did a lot of smart things, because when it comes to sex and stuff, Dark Secret Anonymous can be really tricky. So you, well, it was dark, right? But it wasn't secret.
Right.
And probably anonymous.
The only thing.
Except for you know a lot of people there. That work there. So not necessarily anonymous.
And I didn't have sex. How about that part of it? Like, I didn't do. No. I didn't do anything with.
You just commented on other people while they were having sex.
I did not have. I didn't do anything. I went in the hot tub. I went in the sauna. I went. In the steam room.
Eyelashes being batted.
And, like, I know, y'all, I understand why Pearl is skeptical. That bitch can't go on a coffee date.
Whatever.
Because she
because
might
get, I don't want to take a shit, girl. Because
she might get pounded in the, middle of my in the day, fucking bathroom girl. Later on.
No.
That I'm not that person. Like, no. I'm able to go to places because of years of, like, practicing, yeah. Like, being able to go to places with a certain intention and actually make good on that intention.
And there is something very relaxing about sitting in a chemical dip,
right?
Hot tub filled with various filled with
who knows what,
you know,
people's jism and you
staph
know
infections.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, oh my
all
god,
sorts of bacteria.
I mean, I really felt like.
But you also have to realize how she lives, girl. I mean, she don't give a shit.
It I know, cleansing. Girl. It was like, you know, I left that water dirtier than I found it.
Which I know you did, like that little video online where the girl has a stomachache
right
in the
pool. Fucking pool.
Yeah, totally. When like the hot tub thing where the chick accidentally sharts in the pool and everybody's like, ah!
Oh dear God.
I mean, the fact is, like, I went there.
Had a wonderful time.
I live.
Girl,
I legitimately, y'all, like, they're making fun of me, but like, I went in the hot tub for a little bit. I went in the sauna, the steam room, and then
But did you go to the gym area?
Well, shockingly enough, I had a conversation for 30 minutes.
In the gym area?
In the gym area. I didn't work out, but I...
You talked to somebody who was working out.
I know, as you pointed out, I know so many people who are on staff there.
It's not an anonymous place.
It's not anonymous. No. It's not a place. If I was going to go have dirty, filthy sex or something like that, that's not where I would go, y'all. I know, like, the front desk manager. I know, the night shift manager. I know.
Well, if you want dirty, filthy sex, you usually just order in.
Yeah, if I want dirty, filthy sex, I have my own apartment. And, like...
Yeah.
And, honey, it doesn't get dirtier or filthier than sex in this
joint.
That's a drive-through window.
I know, girl.
They show up, and I'm like... Hi, would you like some
that's
shakes
her
with that fresh
girl?
Oh my god. Honey, I wish that was my glory hole.
That
look how big the rip is. Fuck
is
yeah,
one,
bitch.
That's a busted screen right there, honey.
Honey, how many times have they said that about you? That's a busted screen. Shigella's got a busted screen, bitch.
It brings all the boys of the yard.
Oh god, she's a screen queen.
So girl, outside of Facebook news, what else did you get into this weekend, girl? All this weekend, you took a whole hour, bitch.
It's exhausting.
Well, girl, it was. I think that it wasn't just about this weekend. I think it was about, like, more about issues. Like, those were about issues, not about the weekend.
So congratulations to the winners of New Talent Showcase, the finale, the final.
Yes, girls, both of you guys. Anyway, hold on. Pearl, I think, is doing a PB dance. We're going to take a quick break.
I'm not doing the PB dance.
Oh, you're
not? I'm good.
Oh, okay, cool. So... Well, we are going to take a quick break because we have to acknowledge some sponsors. You guys, we'll be right back with more Party Pal Radio.
Right after this.
Hey, this is Delta Work, and you're listening to Party Pal Radio with Poyo and Pearl, brought to you by Left Magazine.
Hey, y'all. It's Del Shores of Sordid Lives fame. And just in case you didn't know who you're listening to, You're listening to Party Foul Radio with Poyo and Pearl. Yeah, that's the trash you're listening to. Bye.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm your co-host, Ms. Poyo Del Mar.
And I'm Pearl Tease.
And we have a special guest with us in the studio, Ms. Shigellarella.
Come through, Shigellarella.
Hi.
Oh my God, she's moved back to the back.
Oh God.
So we were, while Pearl ultimately did use the restroom, she was like, no, I'm fine, girl.
The thing is, I thought Poyo was going to go in there and blow it the fuck up. So I said, well, let me go pee before that happens.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, I mentioned earlier, are you considered a licensed therapist?
Pre-licensed. I still have to take my exam.
Shigella is a pre-licensed therapist. She still has to take an exam.
I love that you can say I'm pre-licensed. Like, is it just going to happen? I love that. I want to say I'm...
Well, I mean...
I'm pre-hips, girl.
It's called Associate Clinical Social Worker.
Shigella has got a master's degree in social work. So we started a conversation about the fact that this past week, a press release came out from the Director of Communications at the National Center for Lesbian Rights, and it's focused on a situation that is pretty egregious if it pans out to be all true. Here in the San Francisco Bay Area, a consumer fraud lawsuit has been filed against a Berkeley therapist for charging tens of thousands of dollars for discredited conversion therapy. Meaning they're trying to convince her that she is actually not a lesbian. And he basically, as part of his therapy, as it's revealed in the lawsuit, said to her, you need to start dating guys.
Oh, my God.
The therapist pressured lesbian clients.
Priests do this shit all the time.
Priests are priests.
That's true.
They answer to, they're like, they're
that's
part
still
of.
Fucked up.
This anyway. Is the person who you're going to get, like, emotional support and help.
Priests are supposed to be that, too. But anyway.
But yes. But the difference is that, like, therapists go to school for, like, psychology and things like that. Priests go to school for God. So, like, God says that you're wrong.
They
maybe.
Have a different governing board.
Right.
Licensed professional.
Right. Therapists are licensed professionals. So the press release says, therapist pressured lesbian client to change her sexual orientation, shamed her, urged her to change her clothes and appearance, and begin dating a man. This is... Dateline, San Francisco, California, July 13th, so just a few days ago. Today, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, NCLR, and Arnold and Porter K. Scholar, LLP, that's a legal firm, filed a complaint on behalf of Catherine McCobb against California-licensed marriage and family therapist Lloyd Willie. Lloyd Willie, the therapist, told McCobb that being a lesbian is unnatural and pathological, and that her sexual orientation could be changed using therapy. The practice of so-called, quote, conversion therapy has been discredited by the American Psychological Association and other professional counseling organizations as ineffective, unethical, and dangerous. McCobb paid Willie more than $70,000.
Holy shit.
$70,000 during 8 years of therapy based on his fraudulent and harmful lies to her. Meaning, if he had just said to her...
How much did she pay him when with and how long of an amount of time?
So, she paid over $70,000 over 8 years. So
over 8 years.
She was paying him $10,000... But $10,000 a year she was paying this dude.
Yeah.
That's one client. So, you're right. They can make a lot of money. But the fact is... She was ongoing with him for so long because he was trying to change who she was. If he'd been like, let's work on accepting who you are.
She would have been
like,
fine.
She'd have been like, I'm out of here. I got a dyke march to go to in no time. You know what I mean?
Well, he didn't even present it as like, this is how I feel or my, you know, I believe this, that, or the other. He was saying that it's pathological. He was insinuating or implying that the DSM-5 and the psychiatric community or, you know, clinical therapists believe that this is
wrong.
A psychological problem, and it is not.
It's been removed 40 years ago.
A long time ago.
The NCLR, the National Organization, I'm sorry, the National Center for Lesbian Rights, said therapists who exploit vulnerable people by taking their money based on false claims that being lesbian or gay is unnatural and that counseling can change a person's sexual orientation are engaging in fraud, said the NCLR legal director, Shannon Price Minter. That name sounds so familiar to me. I think I might know her. Huh. Our complaint alleges that our client in this case paid tens of thousands of dollars based on false promises that therapy could change her attraction to women. charging a person money based on such bald-faced misrepresentation violates California's consumer protection laws.
Not to mention all the ethical regulations from the Board of Behavioral Sciences.
Right. Like so
every single one.
So this person is not only in big trouble as a professional for like practicing things that are unethical as a business practice.
And harmful. I mean, they've been shown to be very harmful psychologically in the
long run. Right, absolutely. They're also, I think they're going to be suing him for fraud. So she's like they're getting him like in legal trouble and civil trouble.
Hope we didn't do too much with that money, honey.
Okay. So according to this, McCobb, the woman, Catherine McCobb, began paying therapist Willie for therapy when she was 25 years old. Although she did not seek out therapy because of her sexual orientation, Willie, the therapist, fixated on McCobb's lesbian identity and began to pressure her to become straight, telling her that being a lesbian was unnatural and that she could, quote, rewire her brain. He publicly shamed her during group therapy sessions and urged her to change her appearance to be more stereotypically feminine, including losing weight, growing out her hair, changing her wardrobe, and wearing makeup. Willie also pressured her to begin dating a man who was also Willie's client. Like setting her up with somebody else who's like possibly fucked up.
Also completely unethical.
Well, he was probably like a homosexual male and he was trying to like, that's what they always
do. This is like a Will and Grace episode. They literally have that episode.
Like,
that's how ridiculous it is. Like, what was it, 10 years ago?
And there's other things where...
Girl, I remember when there was an episode like that on Queer as Folk.
Yes, there's a whole storyline on Queer as Folk about that. And there's also, what the hell is that? Oh, the movie, But I'm a Cheerleader. Remember that? It is Natasha Lyonne, who is now on Orange is the New Black.
That's right.
She plays like a cheerleader in high school.
RuPaul's in it, right?
RuPaul is in it as the therapist.
Great movie.
And it's very funny.
Yeah.
So basically the whole thing is about, she begins to identify as feeling different sexually or whatever, but she doesn't kind of like have a label for it until somebody's like, you're a lesbian. And her response is, but I'm a cheerleader. Like, you know, like I couldn't be a lesbian. I'm like all this stuff. And they send her to gay conversion camp for like therapy. And then, and the big joke in the camp is like, well, it's for the viewer, it's a joke, but in the camp, it's like set up as a reality. The therapist and the counselors at this camp set up all the gay boys with like a lesbian and they're like supposed to start dating and all this stuff.
Oh my.
And ultimately, they all just sneak out to the local gay bar together. RuPaul is in it, and Natasha Lyonne, who was the star of Peaches Christ, local drag legend, Peaches Christ's movie, All About Evil. And like I said, she's now on Orange is the New Black, was the star of it. She was the cheerleader.
She's great.
Sickening.
So.
She was in, was it Die, Mommy, Die?
I don't know what all she was in.
Remember where she's in the pool? She's like, oh, he broke my hymen.
I just remember that.
Oh, wow.
Any movie that's about breaking hymens is Davoon.
You better bust that hymen.
You better beat it like a pinata.
Right.
Don't. You're going to get in trouble.
I know. Man. God. So, anyway.
God.
The point of that whole thing is that, oh, do you remember that also Natasha Lyonne also had sort of like a mental break? She came to San Francisco and sort of had like she like wandered off. It's a true thing.
Really?
Yep, look it up. Ooh. Anyway, but I hope Natasha Lyonne will come on, so I'm not going to go any more into it. But it's out there, just Google it. Anyways, ultimately, he did all this horrible stuff to the woman, and she is quoted in this press release as saying, I trusted my therapist, and I was defrauded of tens of thousands of dollars as a result.
Girl, not to mention your time.
Right. Thank you. 7 years of your life. The National Center for Lesbian Rights has been working to protect LGBTQ people from efforts to change their sexual orientation or gender identity for more than 20 years. In June 2014, NCLR launched hashtag Born Perfect, the campaign to end conversion therapy, a targeted campaign to end conversion therapy through litigation, public education, and legislation. I think,
and I'm not so sure that's even ever been an approved practice with the Board of Behavioral Sciences in the state of California, even before it was officially
banned.
Yeah.
Whatever.
It goes against a lot of ethical standards that we have.
I think I'm going to contact this woman and see if maybe we can get her on an upcoming podcast. Not the complainant.
I would live. Yeah.
But, like, the woman, Lauren Gray, is the director of communications at the NCLR, and they're based here in San Francisco, so it would seem like it might be doable. So
I would try to get them both.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, God, like, they might not let her do too much media because there's an outstanding lawsuit, and anything that she says, like, can and will be used against you in a court of law. So, yeah. So, but I'm going to try to do that, and...
What do you think about that, Pearl?
Yeah, what do you think about it? How does it make you feel?
I think that's crazy. Like, I can't imagine 7 years of your life gone. I've gone through so many changes. I was looking back at photos today with my partner of, like, where I was. I just happened to be looking back at pictures from, like, 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 years ago, I was a completely different person. 7 years? That's over twice that.
Yeah.
That's longer than...
Math is good. It's your math is holding up. Go on.
Listen, bitch. What have you got to say?
No, go on, bitch.
No, go ahead, girl.
Well, why do you think somebody would stay in therapy that long?
Well, she must have. She must have thought the shit was working, girl. I mean, that's the only thing that I could think of. Like, she really had to like hate herself. Mm. You know.
Yeah,
To accept that as, you know.
How about, I want to know what she went in there for, because they said that that wasn't even the reason she went in. They said that she went in for a completely different reason, and then he was like, well, let's worry about that later, but let's first work on the fact that you're a lesbian. Like, God, that's really egregious.
And how old is she?
She was 25 at the time she went in, mm-hmm. and now she's 32.
And what state is this?
Here! It's in Berkeley, girl!
This bitch really sat there and believed that for 7 years at 25 years old.
In Berkeley, California.
Damn. Yeah. I don't know what to say about that. That's a mess. I mean, especially as a... You live in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
That's why it's so important for Board Behavioral Sciences and to have all these kinds of organizations and laws in place, because... Even with all the wonderful resources that we have, and as our society is evolving forward and all these things, there's always these little pockets of, you know, people with people with their own agendas. And
yeah, which should be like people should come to the realization that just because you're in the Bay Area, we do not live in this bubble that everyone thinks we do.
Absolutely.
I think we definitely live in this bubble that everybody thinks we do, but I still think that there are people within it who... You know, there's still the enemy within. I think that we definitely have it much different than...
I think when you say we, it depends who we is, because, you know, we is different for everybody. Your bubble is not the same as my bubble.
But you don't think that you live in a bubble in San Francisco?
To an extent, but girl, it's not as peachy keen as everyone thinks it is. It's definitely not at all.
I think that... The idea of living in a bubble doesn't insinuate that everything is perfect. I think the idea of the bubble is that things within it are dramatically different than what it's like
elsewhere.
That
could be said anywhere.
Just not about it being the bubble is protective.
I mean, I think that...
Like the boy in the bubble? Is that what we're...
You are the boy in the bubble, bitch. and a boy shaped like a bubble. And, for anybody, I would say that anybody who does not believe that we live in a bubble, which I kind of had some questions about myself, just go outside, not that far outside of San Francisco, and see how different it feels. Like,
sure, it's safer where we are. It is safer, but it is not completely safe, you know? It is not completely safe.
It's not perfect
at
and
all.
We're not protected.
Well, I mean, we're not in utopia, but I think that, like, you
what
know...
What is living in a bubble for you?
A bubble... The attitude in this city is significantly different than it is anywhere else. Like, the sheer fact that in our community here, like, people even have an... Like, a general populace would, for example... might have an understanding of the term cisgender, that's a bubble. Because you go outside of, not very far outside of here, and people will be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, when you, when it's generally spoken here that if somebody is LGBTQ somewhere on the spectrum, you might not approve of it, or you might not like it, but generally it's like people don't go out of their way to take issue with it. Some people do.
I was going to say time out. See, that's where the bubble pops, because I don't live in that bubble. Like, I was attacked today verbally on the street. Yesterday, I went to a movie, and there was people behind me trying to figure out if I was a man or a woman.
So what do you do when stuff like that happens?
It depends. Like, I have to try. If it's a situation that can be very dangerous for me, which a lot of times it is, mm-hmm. I have to do what I can to get out of it.
I think that the idea, my definition of a bubble is that within it, it is a different environment than outside of it. Like, it's more controlled here than it is out there.
Like, it's like a microcosm.
It is a microcosm. Mm-hmm. The fact that, like, that nobody is implying that San Francisco is utopian society where everyone is like, things are wonderful and there's no problems and they're not conflict and whatever. But what I'm saying is that, like, if you compare even your experience as a trans woman of color here, and then you take that experience somewhere like not even that far outside of here, it's probably going to be extremely different.
Always. But that's with every city.
But my point is that, like, there is a very specific mindset that comes along with San Francisco. And remember last week when I told the story about RuPaul, mm-hmm. and she said, oh, all your San Francisco bullshit or whatever, mm-hmm. da-da-da. Like, that's what I'm talking about. Outside of this city, some of the things that San Francisco does, some of the, like, the traits, the qualities, the things that we hold near and dear, are viewed as absurd in other places. Like, and I think that that is, like, about the tone and the mentality of those places. It's, like, why when we live here, we become constantly, like, shocked that in Georgia, XYZ happens, or in Montana, like, people do this. Or and we're like, I can't believe it. Because we are conditioned that it might not be perfect here, but it is so dramatically different than the majority of other places. That's the bubble.
Instances like this that happened just in Berkeley show that that's not the case.
I think it speaks to a certain level of denial that we all, in a protective way, function under. And then when we have these different experiences that break through that denial, that kind of like assumed kind of safety, or, you know, that I'm protected, or this is, you know, I understand what the day-to-day living is, a social contract and norms. But your experience of what happens to you on a day-to-day basis is very different than mine.
Right. So who is the bubble for?
Right.
You know? Or who is in the bubble, really?
But particularly if you feel like your safety and your self-worth, or your, you know, you're being devalued on a regular basis, those are things that dramatically break through that denial. So you're having a very different experience than somebody who's like, oh, you know, Bart's not that bad. I mean, yeah, someone was shooting up when I was on it, but nobody fucked with me. You know,
right.
I just moved to the other car.
Right.
Versus somebody that's, like, been assaulted, or had to watch somebody be assaulted and mm-hmm. was scared to do anything because they were stuck there. I mean, these types of events that happen, sometimes they happen to other people much more frequently than us, than middle-aged Caucasian men that walk around, that sometimes can pass as not extremely flamboyantly gay. We can have a very different experience.
Right, but
unless you're dressed like this.
And I'm not, like, devaluing that statement, but what I'm saying is that even, like, no matter sort of where you are on the spectrum, I still believe that while our experiences vary, our experiences in this city are going to be encapsulated in a bubble, that there is an overarching, like, mindset that kind of pervades this area that is not existing somewhere else. So, like, whatever, like, perceived threats or real threats that we have here, like, those are, like, really can be tame compared to the threats when you go somewhere else. Like, so the bubble of protection is here. It might not be, like, it might not be at the same level for every person, and it might not be certainly not perfect, but I think no matter whether it's Pearl or me or you or somebody else, like, from our community, if we go to, like, just, say, Stockton, like, the experience there can be very different because it's not under the same, like...
Well, I drive through multiple bubbles every time I come here.
I was going to say, I mean, the same could be said about, what, Sacramento, or you could say the same could be said about the South. Like, it's going to be different no matter where you go.
Right, but what I'm saying to you is that, like, the bubble that we're discussing is San Francisco, and that, like, the mindset here is different than other places, and clearly it then varies other places. It's not going to be the same. That's what makes it this bubble of protection. Like, whatever the mindset is here, it does vary. And, like, the places that you go can become, like, increasingly farther from the norm of what our expectation is here. Like, Sacramento is not fun sometimes, no matter who you are. And then if you go to, like, Billings, Montana, we're all, like, fucking running for our lives. And, like, some places in Georgia or Alabama, we'd be, like, fucking holding each other, like, in fear, like, at the end of, like, in a Scooby-Doo episode where they're, like, fucking trying to make it through the dark. But, like, my point is that we do have a level of protection here that allows for maybe, even if it's not all the time, for there to be moments of time where we don't have to, like, focus all of our energy and attention on it. Where there's other places that is, like, a really real thing. Like, all the time, 24 hours a day, like, you know, and maybe certainly your experience as a trans woman of color is very different, but I would still say that, like, some of the opportunities that are available to you here, they're certainly different than outside of this because of that bubble that I'm talking about.
But a lot of the same shit that I deal with here, I would deal with almost anywhere else. I have another trans friend who had a partner she was trying to kick out of her house. He called the police, and in her house, she went to jail.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know about that experience. I'm like, but was that here in San Francisco?
Here in San Francisco.
I would say that I think it's one of those situations where you guys are not necessarily in disagreement. It's like there's two different maybe concepts or issues, but
I'm not in the bubble at the end of the day.
But the whole concept of a bubble, I think, is really talking about culture, and it's talking about social norms and our perceptions, and that my idea of what the bubble is or whatever that means is very different than somebody else. And that is part, I think, of the problem of, or the challenge in a multicultural society to somehow still feel like you can relate to each other while you're at the same time having very different experiences. I mean, like, and sometimes if we can't really relate and understand where each other's coming from, feels like there's the separation. Like, you don't really get where I'm coming from, and I don't get where you're coming from, and then there's this bubble. And so, I mean, I get the bubble concept. But one thing I did want to say that I think is very interesting about this situation with the therapist is the temptation, or which is why I kind of asked you, is the temptation or the line of thinking of, like, well, why would somebody do this? Like, why did you keep going? And that really is, I think it's a slippery slope because it can also, you're talking about power differentials, you're talking about potentially abusive relationships, and, like, why did the woman stay in the stereotypical domestic violence situation kind of a thing?
Right.
But when you're dealing with a licensed therapist or a physician or a clinician, the onus is on them to make sure that they are following ethical standards. And people, you know, not that everybody that goes into therapy is just so completely, you know...
fucked up.
Well, that's not the word I would say, but vulnerable. But it is a relationship, and it especially a long-term one like that. And it really is on the onus of that therapist to make sure that he's not crossing the lines for his own agenda and causing potential harm. So, I mean, the real hopeful, the result of this is that therapist will no longer be allowed to practice in our state and hopefully nationally, because no matter what your own opinions are, when changes to the DSM-5 are made, when all of these, you know, things are changed and mandates come into place, as a licensed clinician, I have to follow them or find a different job. you know, right. But not pretend that.
Right, not pretend that you're something you're
not.
Oh,
well,
right.
My belief is this, and you're damaged, and I can help you. I mean, that's just extremely manipulative, and I really feel for this woman, despite how long she stayed in therapy, and yeah, I wish she would have left, but it really, the onus is on that therapist. He should have known better, and he should not be allowed to practice, I hope, any longer.
Well, he shouldn't have been allowed to practice in the first place, considering he wasn't even a real...
I think it speaks to some of the
concerns. He is a real therapist.
He's licensed,
she's not.
I'm not licensed yet.
Oh, okay.
But she's pre-licensed.
One of the challenges is once you're licensed until otherwise... Right. I mean, you have to keep it up and you have to do some CEUs.
Yeah.
But this guy was under the radar.
Right.
As far as this concerns. So, you know, props to her for going through the hell that she's going through right now to do this, because it's going to be saving countless lives of the other people that... And hopefully some other people that
future
were treated by him will
possibly
come forward.
Yeah.
You know... I definitely think that why the fuck would you stay with somebody for so long pops up. But the reality, as I see it, is that so when you go to a therapist or you go to a medical professional or whomever, you think that you're getting knowledgeable information. And often you, meaning the individual who's going to see a doctor, a therapist,
yeah,
or something like this,
paying,
a person that who you trust based on their extensive educational experience, the idea behind that is that they have an understanding of what's legitimately going on and, you know, how to effectively treat it. So she believed him. And at some point, like, I don't even, as I said, I'd be really curious why she initially went, what her real issue was when she went there. But it pointed out in the press release we just read that, like, at some point he said he turned the focus on her sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I could understand how easily it would be for a person to begin, you know, if you trust this person and the person's, like, telling you, like, well, you know, the reason that you have, like, the inability to have a long-standing relationship isn't this or that or whatever. It's because... you're under the perception that you're a lesbian and, you know, it's wrong and, you know, whatever. And like,
I can help you.
And I can help you. And I mean, it would be the equivalent of anytime you go in with a medical condition to see a doctor and they tell you that, I mean, if I go in for a chest cold or whatever the issue is, and they tell me like, these are the pills that treat this, take these for 2 weeks. I don't fucking come home and look that shit up.
Right.
I mean, surely there are some people who do, but
I mean,
I'll
look on the capsule box and see what the side effects and stuff
right.
are.
Right, but like most people are like, this is a doctor.
Right.
He or she knows what they're talking about. I'm going to take the fucking medicine. It's supposed to fix me.
Right.
And part of me assumes that how she ended up being with this person for so long is since you really can't effectively change a person's sexual orientation or gender identity, like with any kind of sincere long-term, you know, solution based there, like probably what would happen is like they would hit a roadblock. Like she'd be like, well, God, I'm wearing all this makeup and now my hair is like,
right.
you know, long and I look feminine, but I'm still not attracted to men. And
right.
he was like, well, that's because you need to start doing this now. And
right.
she'd be like, it sounds like she bought 7 years of snake oil.
Right.
From a snake in the grass. So,
well,
I mean...
when is the court hearing?
They don't say that. I'm definitely, you guys, I'm so intrigued by this because of the fact that I think that abuses of power and authority like this are so fucked up. And, okay, so, you know, like, this is where I often will share, like, experiences that relate to some of the things. So, a number of years ago... and I'm not going to touch on all of the backstory for this, but a number of years ago, I was sent to see a therapist as a result of a work-related incident that happened. And this
well, that had to be some time ago.
It was. It was in 2000, 2001. And I'm going to gloss over the reason, but I do want to put it out there because of the fact that this is something I've written about before. I had been in a work-related situation where I was sexually harassed and basically sexually assaulted in a work environment.
Oh,
and it's something that we can talk about at another time or whatever. But the crazy part about this whole thing as it progressed was that as a result of that experience, I started, that's one of the things that like really set into motion some really negative addiction related issues and some emotional trauma that and baggage that came with that. So I was went to begin seeing a therapist. Now, I was very upfront and honest with this therapist about the quantity and frequency with which I was using drugs, that like I was upfront about it. And one of the things that kind of fueled my continued using of drugs and amplification of my using, despite the fact that I'm just simply a drug addict, and that's what people like in my situation do, just go until the wheels fall off, is that that particular therapist never one time asked me like, well, you know, how do other people feel about this? Is it causing problems? Like, it was never addressed ever as being problematic. Like, it was never said, like, I don't know what I would expect, but like, you know, mm-hmm. like using crystal methamphetamines Thursday through Sunday night, you know, seems like it could have some real negative consequences. You know, it was never addressed that way. In fact, he told me specifically how to get a, quote, better high by getting a couple hours of sleep and eating a peanut butter sandwich on a Sunday, or a Saturday, because he told me, like, whatever. Well, as a result, him never addressing that situation fueled my own denial about what a problem it was becoming. Mm-hmm. And later on, when I ultimately ended up in rehab, you guys, within a month or two of my going to rehab, I brought this up because I had been assigned a new therapist. And I said, well, you know, this previous therapist I had never mentioned this. He never talked about it with me. And my therapist at that time, who I'm still in touch with to this day, wonderful person, said to me, well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but that particular therapist had his license removed.
Oh my God.
By the state. He had his license removed from the state when it was discovered that he himself was in an active addiction using crystal meth.
Yeah.
And had crossed all kinds of boundaries.
Sure.
with his not just like mine, like where he was like not even advising me to take any kind of action, but I think that he had begun to participate in behavior with his clients. Yeah. And so he got his license stripped away from him. And this was a person, one of the reasons why I trusted him so much at the time is because when they sent me to him, I had looked him up and he was a nationally recognized therapist from the Bay Area.
Yeah. Mm.
And the really, really sad part, you know, like I don't hold any ill will towards him. Like, you know, my journey was my journey and I am really glad to be where I'm at now and have come through it. But the sad part to me was that shortly after, like maybe within a year of him losing his license to practice, and it just continued his decline, and he ultimately died of a drug overdose. Like,
oh my God.
So like maybe 6 months before I wound up getting sober. So this was 13 years ago, but it was one of those things where going back to the original topic of this woman, like if you are going to a person whose professional opinion you trust, like I left those meetings with that therapist many times saying like, well, surely if I had a drug problem, he would have said something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It's sort of his job to observe that. And he never one time, and I don't know if it was because...
Well, he wasn't addressing his own.
It just was something like it was not talked about. And I will tell you that it felt like he co-signed a lot of my like negative behavior. I like look back and I'm like, God, a therapist probably should not have like, you know, at least challenge it. Don't say to somebody like, oh, you're right. They're awful.
Have a sandwich.
Yeah, have a peanut butter sandwich and get a nap and then really hit it hard, girl. Make the most of that weekend, bitch.
Well,
but as I said,
be very careful about your therapist,
you
ladies
have never
and gentlemen.
Stepped out of that bubble,
girl.
Right, that bubble, girl.
The problem wasn't stepping out of the bubble. My problem was smoking the bubble. It was girl. Like hitting the bubble.
She was bubbling it.
She was bubbling.
It was fucking bubble, toil and trouble, girl. So, anyway, it was I mean, it was a situation where. Well, the reason also I want to say that one of the things, so you guys know, like in to put it in comparison, because the denial that I had about my drug addiction many years ago was like really thick, I had said to my partner at the time, look, I went to this therapist. He never once mentioned this. Mm-hmm. I go see my doctor on a regular basis. She's never mentioned it. If I had a drug problem, surely one of these people would say something.
Much and, like all the people on Facebook that are co-signing people's behaviors and not saying anything.
Right. So I thought somebody would actually speak up. And then, get this, you guys. So I that was my excuse for my bad behavior. Like, my therapist.
Come
my,
on, Alexis Michelle.
What? 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 What?
They should have told me that this that purple dress was basic.
Girl, no, there's a... bitch, it's not like that. It's not, it's like, oh, it's not like, Jesus. I mean, in competition with the other crackheads, like, I'm just like, maybe I was, but, like, I'm saying that people who are valued, like, were, so, I use that as justification for my bad behavior, that nobody who was a trained medical professional of any kind had called me on it. Girl, don't you know that right before I ended up getting sober ultimately, I went in to see my doctor, and she said, looked at me and said, I need to know what's going on with you. And I was like, I don't know what you mean. And she was like, you're showing significant signs of crystal methamphetamine abuse. Oh. And that was my, like, it was what I needed, because it was that thing where I'm like, oh my God, I actually trust this woman. Mm-hmm. She did exactly what I said that she's never done. And it didn't stop me immediately, but it definitely...
So what did you say?
I didn't say anything
to
her.
To fuck herself.
No. No, I didn't say anything at the time, but when I left there, I took that with me. You know what I mean? And I will say that I'm really sad right now, because that same doctor, she had been my doctor since 2001, and she's retiring, so now I'm in the search for a new doctor. So anyway, but I still feel like, yeah, I feel like I owe her like a huge...
For them doctors, bro. So,
well, I think I'm going to go to the same doctor who burned the fissures out of my sniz.
Oh, I was going to say, okay, well,
yeah,
you know.
He's seen some shit, all right.
No, it's
yeah.
a her.
Oh, yeah, oh, she's been damn. There.
I said I had fissures in my sniz, not to be mistaken with the Swedish fishhook. Rinchemar! Sorry, that's a... Rinchemar!
Pay for that doctor, girls.
Anyway, honey, I've already got a videotape of her like catching my ass on fire. She was setting fire to my rain. So like Adele, bitch. So I mean, and whatever. But it's one of those things. Like
that was a busted ring of fire.
Exactly. I fell into a busted ring of fire.
I'm sure.
Down, down, down. Flames
very
got higher.
Busted, girl. Anyway.
Anyway, girl. All right, you guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be back with more Party Foul Radio right after this.
Hi, this is Sister Roma, the most photographed nun in the world. You're listening to my good girlfriends, Polo Del Mar and Pearl T... It's P-O-L-L-O. Oh, okay. Hi, this is Sister Roma, the most photographed nun in the world. You're listening to my good girlfriends, Pollo Del Mar and Pearl Tees, on Party Foul Radio, Podmatic's number one LGBT podcast.
Hi, this is Kathy Fledge, and you're listening to Party Foul Radio, and we are family.
All right, everybody, we are back with more Party Foul Radio. I'm Poet Omar.
And I'm Pearl T.
And Shigella Rella is right here in the house with us. She's been really informative.
Come
this
on,
whole...
special guest. I lived, girl. I lived.
Say it.
I live.
Indeed.
That's going to be the new hashtag, bitch.
So, all right, Pearl, what have you got ahead for the weekend for you?
This weekend, you know, I think... What originally was on my calendar for this weekend was Poyo's new talent showcase, but she didn't tell nobody until the very last minute that she had changed the date.
I didn't change the date!
The date.
I did not change the date!
Oh, well, I just put it in my calendar on the wrong date.
The date has been...
Right. Anyway, girl, so...
Oh, my God.
So shady.
So shady. I mean, I told everyone... Except her.
Right.
I mean, from the moment this event was planned, like, 2 months ago, last weekend's date, she got it mistaken, because originally the California Gold pageant, the 9th annual California Gold fundraising pageant, was scheduled for this Sunday. Girl, or Saturday.
Right, the 22nd, not the 23rd.
I don't know why she doesn't live!
or whatever.
So it's actually my break away from drag, because I am very for those of you that don't know me out of this stuff, I'm on this thing where I'm trying to find a better balance between work life, show life, and real life. And
that's a real challenge.
It's my weekend off from drag and, you know, stuff like that. So I'm going to try to stay home, hopefully. If not, I'll probably go hang out with, like, my bestie over near the Embarcadero.
She is taking a weekend off from the shows, the hoes, and the hoes in the shows.
Right. Real friends only, please.
Hashtag.
Yes.
So, Shigella, how are you spending your weekend? I mean, she's quite the socialite.
I would live.
I guess I'm going to sushi with Coco.
Nobody. That's a top secret thing. And, well, you can say it because I don't think it'll get out.
Not doing anything.
She's going out with, we got a friend who'll be in town from, but it's a surprise, so we're not really allowed to name names.
And what are you doing for you?
Who's it surprising? Oh.
Anyway.
So, girl, what are you doing?
I had to whisper it, y'all.
I'm gonna garden.
She always gardens.
Oh, garden.
Yeah.
You better.
You garden tomatoes.
She never promised you a rose garden.
Well, I got some roses.
Okay.
She only...
Pickles? How do you do pickles?
Well, first you have to start growing a cucumber.
Oh. Okay.
You grow a cucumber and you put it in vinegar. It becomes a pickle.
You should try it, though, because you can make some bomb-ass pickles. And cucumbers are really easy to grow.
Yeah.
And then when you pickle them yourself, you can do all the special spices.
I'm not the biggest fan of vinegar.
Well, but just remember, once you become a pickle...
You can never be a cucumber again!
Oh, snap!
Oh, my God. Wow. My weekend is a little bit up in the air. I definitely think that I'm going to be doing... more work. You guys, it's so funny because I've been becoming more and more involved in the Northern California professional wrestling, independent professional wrestling scene. Mm. And I just...
Hanging up the wig on the stage to go do wrestling, girl. Do it. I live.
I'm like...
Cold AC.
The cold one AC.
The cold one. I wish my fucking AC would work.
I wish
half as long as that queen does.
I wish my refrigerator worked. Half as cold. Anyway, I'm probably going to be going to check out the Gold Rush professional wrestling show over in Pacifica, California on Saturday, which is why I cannot be joining my BFF, Shigella, in her post-birthday weekend.
Oh, what a shitty friend, girl.
I know, right?
Whatever. That's why you need real friends, girl.
Her wrestling.
Girl, whatever, bitch. I went to IKEA with the whore today. That is a real friend, bitch. Anyway, and then Sunday it will be, of course, my second to last show at the cafe. So you guys, check that out. Meanwhile, you've already heard throughout the show all about our sponsors, but let's give them a recap.
Girl, you can go first.
All right, Pearl was like, go first. Please, if you're looking to find out all the best in LGBTQ nightlife and entertainment down under in Australia, visit Australia's number one LGBTQ entertainment news and travel website at guidetogay.com. Guidetogay.com is a proud sponsor of Party Foul Radio, and we are happy to have them on board.
And if you're in the Bay Area, or specifically San Francisco, pick up your local edition of Left Magazine, or head on over to liveleft.com. God, I can't even speak today.
Liveleft.com, indeed, to find all of the most beautiful photo pictorials of San Francisco, Bay Area, and NorCal's LGBTQ nightlife. So that's liveleft.com for Left Magazine. If you're in the Castro District and you need to your hair did for the summer, go see Arlen, Jesse, and all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop. Daddy's Barbershop.
Women that work there too?
Yes.
Oh, I live.
Yeah, she's. I love her. Her name's Adora too. She is
her
fierce.
Adora.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. That's
she's
cute.
Fierce. She is like a butch lesbian. I just love her. So go see all the men and women of Daddy's Barbershop. They were voted San Francisco's best barbershop in 2017's Bestie Awards. So go check them out. They are at the corner of 19th and Castro in the Castro.
Don't forget to check out Swiss Navy lubricants if you need any lube for any of those holes that you're trying to fill.
Yes, girl, you want your hole filled? You better do it with a Swiss Navy premium lubricant. All right, that pretty much brings us to the end of this episode, I Do Dare Believe.
So don't forget to follow us on Twitter and on Facebook at Party Foul Radio.
Party Foul Radio. Or you can follow Pearl Tease at Pearl Tease.
That's T-E-E-S-E. No porno, honey.
And I am the Glamazon PDM on Twitter, or Pollo Del Mar Fans on both Facebook and Instagram. Thank you for joining us for episode 75. Oh, bitch. If you want to get a hold of Shigella.
Shigella-rella, girl.
Look her up, Shigella-rella. Yes, that's right. She's named after a disease that'll make you shit your pants. Yeah. Because that is what she is. All right. This is Pollo Del Mar.
And this is Pearl Tease.
And this?
I'm Prairie Doggin'.
And this is?
Shigella-rella.
She's prairie dogging, bitches.
Time to go.
It is time for us to get up and out of here. I hope you have a wonderful week. And until next time.
Bye.